All right, are we ready tonight? Testimony Nights is one of my favorites. I always love to hear what God is doing in the midst of His people. You know, testimonies never get old. I mean, it may have happened 10 years ago. It may have happened 20 years ago. Who knows? But it's still fresh. It's still of the Lord. And so it's a blessing tonight. So, you know, I always encourage you as you hear testimonies tonight, remember that what God did for one, God will always do for another. So like Pastor Chaz said on Sunday when he was telling the story of, was it John G. Lake and maybe Smith Wigglesworth or some of the guy, Dowie. He was saying, you know, he always looks for the secret ingredient or the little things in there that caused the miracle, or what can I learn, or what does this mean for me? So tonight, make sure as people are testifying that you have your spiritual ears open and that you're, you know, you're alert and ready. And if you are, this is why you're supposed to be sitting on the front row and like be up here like instantly. So, all right. So, you is going to start us off tonight.
Heston.
All right.
Well, good evening, everybody. So, I guess there will be a testimony about overcoming temptations. When I would like to start, I had this temptation from the very beginning. So ever since I was a child, father came from a fatherless family and without God. See, I despised God. I hated His word. I hated His people. I was trying to find ways to just smite. And without any guidance at all, I made isolation of myself. I view society as pretty evil, even though I ignore my own evilness. Without any friends, I was bullied for my isolation, for my weaknesses. I didn't like being bullied at all. And it came upon me, this rage. I wanted to hide it. My insecurity. I didn't want to make myself vulnerable. I didn't want to feel weak, so I put on this anger that I'm big and tough, even though I can't fight a person at all. But that rage turned into something else. It was evil. And there were times I had self-made thought that just be violent. But as I've told my testimony in Kids Church before, it was Sandy, Rudy, Keisha, Miss Anthony, and I was told that I was weak. I didn't want to move on with my life. I didn't want to deal with the suffering anymore. But I heard voices in my head telling me to stop. Telling me to keep going, want to forgive, but there was another voice I didn't tell, was revenge. See, it told me if I control myself, I did all these things, and if I worship Him, one day I would just get the chance to get my revenge on those who've hurted me, starting from family, school. I dwelt on those thoughts for years. It made me different. I felt anger all the time. I felt like this thing just inside me clawing me out. And when I received the word of God, and I spoke with tongues for the first time, I received the Holy Spirit. I feel like that weight just came off. But as we all know, we have to always keep our houses clean and guided. I didn't. From time to time, the enemy just came back and gave me worse and worse those thoughts. Every time I have a happy moment, I keep reminding myself of this happened to you. Don't forget what you're here for. Don't forget you gotta take revenge. It's just like that root deep into my soul. I needed to dig it out, but I tried covering it up instead. After, I literally feel like there are things trying to tear me apart. It's biting me. I felt anger, disgruntled. It happened for a long time, 3 years, going to church, being filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, asking for forgiveness. But when I come home, acting again, I felt in prayer and reading. I surrounded myself with the media and, you know, how bad that gets. Just get mad at people sometimes. And those things, it just reminded me of my past. But recently, I asked Pastor Chaz and an elder in church to pray. At first, that thing didn't want to come off. I felt evil. It took over me. I just wanted to, you know, just grapple people around. But afterwards, it felt like when I first received God again. Was free. And it's my testimony to you as well today. Because on Sunday, when I finished writing my testimony, the thing came back, and it was from my family this time. The enemy was trying to get all these things to get me back into temptation. I really was going to do something. But praise God, I rebuked it. I resist the devil. And this is my testimony to you. No matter how much the enemy tries to convey my senses of security, tempt me with all these things, my newfound purpose in life isn't for personal vengeance. It's spread the word of God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Who can imagine, you know, a sweet brother? Well, the devil messes with everybody in different ways, and you never really know what it is. I mean, everybody has their own thing that they deal with. And even though you get born again, you get your house clean, you have to keep it clean. You get your brain clean, you have to keep it clean. You got to stay washed. You got to stay full. You got to stay on fire. If you don't stay on fire, it doesn't burn up the evil. It doesn't keep the devil burned out. And so thanks, brother, for being serious about it and committing to the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And that might take a couple times. It might take a couple of times of him trying to come back, see if he's got an opening, see if there's any vacancy. And so just keep your sign of no vacancy on. But you'll have to do that by faith, and you'll have to be serious that, you know, I'm not going to let this happen to me. And you got to do it quickly. 15 seconds. The 15-second rule. We're going to do a whole service on that. The 15-second rule, the very first 15 seconds is so important in you staying free from whatever the temptation or the encroachment of the enemy is. So praise God, Jesus is alive. It's all true and real. And sometimes you got to get free again to realize how real it is. Because it can feel very oppressive when you're not in that moment of peace and glory with God. And you just fight because you know it's there. You fight by faith until you feel it again, because it's true. And then you live a life that way. So we're going to help you live a whole life that way. Hallelujah. Ariana, come on up.
Good evening. Okay, so I wanted to share with you my testimony tonight about how God carried me through my last pregnancy. Now my child is in the nursery in the back. She is 1 year old. So I just kind of want to start from the very beginning. A few people had dreams that I was pregnant, and they came to me and said, hey, when are you having your next child? Because we had dreams about you, and are you pregnant? And one was Pastor Joni, and and she said, hey, you know, this is serious. I was praying over you because I felt like there was something spiritual about, you know, your pregnancy. And there was, but I hadn't known yet because I didn't know I was pregnant. So I find out I'm pregnant. Yay! We go to the doctor's office, and they're like, congratulations. And they're like, okay, you know, come back, and we'll, you know, start the whole 9 months. So right when I left the office, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, no matter what the doctors tell you, my word is final. my word is the final word, and you're going to have a healthy baby. And so, you know, that's exciting to know, and a little bit scary when, you know, the Lord tells you right off the bat, prepare yourself. And then he, you know, cautioned me, be mindful of the words that you speak over yourself. Don't curse yourself. And keep your mind renewed. Make sure to keep your mind renewed. Okay, so we go in. I go to the second appointment, and the doctors from the very beginning say, Miss Ochoa, this doesn't look good. We don't think your baby's going to make it. So they, you know, we're like, we need to run tests. And so throughout the whole pregnancy, they're running tests. Oh, you know what? Your baby's not going to make it. You might have a miscarriage, all these bad things. And every time I'd walk in, right before I would worship and I would pray and I'd be in the spirit and I would renew my mind and I would just feel this peace come over me. And I would show up to the doctor's office and I would feel this hand on my belly, this hand. And it kept me. And I would, and when they would give me bad news, they would come in with another doctor and they would say, well, you know, things don't look good. And I would comfort them. It's okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's fine. So they, okay, you know, so I'd go off, have tests run, and they'd say, well, we don't know why you're here. We can't find anything wrong with you. So I'd go home. I'd go home, you know, after spending a couple hours in the emergency room or wherever they sent me. And then, you know, then they got to a certain point where, like, okay, it doesn't look good again. And, you know, I'm like, oh, it's going to be fine. So I go home. But this day, I hadn't renewed my mind. And we would talk about, you know, praying or worshiping the Lord hourly, whatever it took, just to let whatever would try to sit on me, just to break it off. So this particular day, I hadn't done that. And I felt this heaviness come over me, and I just began to weep. And weep and weep. And the Holy Spirit, after I was done, said, well, are you going to sit there and wallow in your sorrows? Or are you gonna get up and fight? And I'm like, well, okay. So at that very point in time, the enemy spoke to me and said, I'm going to take your baby, and I'm going to take you. And right then and there, out of my mouth, I said, devil, you have no authority over me. You have no jurisdiction over me. Come and bring it. Now, I don't go chasing demons. That's not my thing. And I'm not really an aggressive person, if you know me. But when it comes to things of God, of course, you know, bring it. So, you know, every time when the enemy would try to throw these things on me, I'd just go dancing and I'd just go praising. And the thing would lift off. It'd lift off. And at the very end, the doctor's like, hey, Miss Ochoa, this doesn't look good again. You know, we're going to have to deliver your baby. Okay, it's fine. We delivered the baby. The baby was perfectly healthy. So, no complications, nothing. They said, your baby is going to be so huge. My baby was a 7-pound baby, so huge. Truly blessed. The Lord carried me and taught me how to keep my faith up, how to renew my mind, how to walk with him, how to tell the devil to shut up. Because he would try to throw these things at me like, oh, well, you're not doing good. And, you know, it didn't look good on paper. But you know what? The Lord's word is the final word.
Oh, praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Thank God he has the last word. Come on, thank God he's powerful enough. Glory to God. You know, one thing I love about the Lord is that he does prepare us. You know, sometimes really the truth is, and this is understandable, we'd all really rather not go through the whatever the difficulty is, the tactic, the scheme, the lie, the whatever that's coming. We'd rather just, you know, rather not have that at all. But praise God that God does prepare us. And I'm thankful that Ariana has a life tight enough with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit could prepare her from the very get-go. Before the word, the bad word, the bad report, the negative thing ever came, she had a word from God. Come on. We have to stand on what God says and believe what God says and walk out what God says. And, you know, sometimes we pray and we instantly see the result. We see the miracle. You know, she could have prayed once and gone back and the doctors could have turned all their reports in line with what the Lord was saying. But it didn't happen that way. But in the end, God's word spoke. Amen. And so that's the truth of it. And we're just excited to know that God will keep us. Praise the Lord, brother. You ready?
Thank you.
Yeah, excuse me. My name is Edmundo Santiago. This is the testimony that I have to Yeshua because of the goodness of his mercy. Last week of 2019, I was right there in that road, all wounded, sorrowful, pitiful, sad, discouraged, because I have been a struggle with many years of sickness in my body, lupus, diabetes, and RA. Yes, with the pain and inflammation. But the first service, the second service was here. My wife was with the children. And the first song came in, you know. But when Pastor Johnny starts singing, "Better Is One Day," I feel like a voice, a strength, courage. And I was looking, and I said, "Oh my God, what's happening?" I started singing. I feel like a voice and a strength came to me and told me, "It's time to be healed." Okay, so I stood there. The buried one day came in, and I started putting my hands up. And I start singing. At the middle of the song, I had to stop because I had a feeling, the sensation, that even the song before it finished, I was already healed. I felt it so strong that I said, "Oh, I don't know what to say." And I start singing. I start singing and singing. This time I lift up my hands and I close my eyes. I start singing. And I feel the same thing, sensation, that I was already healed. I was already healed. And I start singing. But when I close my eyes the second time, in front of me, through the darkness, I feel like many things were removed from my sight. Everything, anything that I did not know, that was removed. What it was, only he knew. But there's so many, many things that were removed from my body. And I started singing, and not stopping. And I was trying to tell the Pastor Johnny, don't stop. But I was there. Then I knew there was a light on me. I was already sure that I was healed. My wife was with the children, and by surprise, she came and stood beside me. I haven't told anything that what happened. I was quiet. But then she came close to me, hold my hand, and said, "You know what? I feel that you have healing in your body." Wow. That was a confirmation that was already healed. Then I didn't tell nobody about this testimony. I just want to make sure myself. What I did, my first thought is say, going to the doctor to do another check in my diabetes. The only thing the doctor found out was that my A1C, it was a little higher. That was it, but no diabetes. Then, to make another testimony bigger and greater to Yeshua, the Lord, the Master, I went to check my eyes because I needed. They took pictures of my eyes. And I asked the doctor, do you see anything wrong in there? They're like, what? There's any diabetes on it? He said, your eyes are so clear that I don't see anything in it. Then I went to the rheumatologist doctor for another checkup. But this time it was not diabetes. It's trying to find out about lupus. When we're talking and she was doing the text and the exam and arrays, whatever she has to do, I asked, what do you think, how is my lupus doing? And she looked at me by surprise, like, what you say? She said, yeah, what is my lupus doing? By the surprise, by the goodness of Jesus, she said, you don't have lupus. I say, are you sure? I just want to make sure that I'm not going to do anything, because you can see I have all the proofs in this fold. I have everything to prove what Jesus has done. By that time, I was injecting myself Humira for the RA. But since my experience from that moment until right now, no pills, no injection, no diabetes, no rheumatoid, and everything is gone. Nothing is still on it because of what he has done. And my only prayer is, Lord, what you did for me, do it for others. Amen. Because they need it. Amen. Thank you for what you have done, and thank you for your mercy, and thank you for all my healing. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, at any moment. Listen, for years, and in a moment with God, just a moment with God, diabetes, come on, lupus, it doesn't matter. Nothing is too big for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, you don't know what's happening with people sitting around you. I mean, we had no idea. You know, he checked it all out, and then he came to testify. And then what happened was, he didn't tell this part, but after he had this healing experience with God, his closeness to God and things with the Lord, and he started having, really, he came to ask me about it, was a spirit of intercession. I mean, he just started getting into these places with God, into the spirit with God, praying in the God with God, just this depth. Come on, there's still more for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to encourage you. I know that there's not a method and there's not a formula to getting healed. There's not a formula to getting things from God. But I just want to tell you that the worship of God out of your mouth is important. The devil will try to make you feel sad and depressed and discouraged and frustrated so that he can shut your mouth and shut up your praise. But sometimes just praising God is a vehicle that will take you right past everything that stands in your way. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Glory. Our God is so good. You know, I just love God's math, and I love his economy. You know, I just, long time ago, I gave up on trying to figure it out. Because, you know, when you try to do the math, how God blesses you financially, it doesn't come out. It doesn't, like, wait a minute, something's not right here, but yet it happens. So this is my testimony. Well, it started, some of you probably know, but some of you don't. 6 weeks ago, I got injured on a job, and I couldn't work anymore because they put me on a lifting restriction, and I had to lift pretty heavy stuff at work, 75 pounds sometimes. So anyway, I couldn't work, and went to the clinic and everything, and, you know, got set up for workers' comp, but that took, like, 8 days before I started getting paid workers' comp. And it's 70% of your pay. Thank God it happened with a job, I guess. Best place it could have happened, because then I'm getting paid. But I was kind of concerned about it. Lord, I put myself in your hands, you know, while I'm waiting, because it takes, they're slow. Workers' comp is slow on getting any kind of medical stuff done, you know. A lot of doctors won't even see you because it's workers' comp. But anyway, long story short, 3 weeks later, I did get my surgery, which was 3 weeks ago. And I'm doing great. First day was pretty rough. Had some problems, but God helped me through it. But anyway, I got 3 more weeks to go, and then I'll be off my lift restriction. I'll be going back to work. So, you know, I'm getting my first check, second check. I'm thinking, I'm not short. I'm able to pay bills right on time. I've got extra. Oh, I need some equipment for my business. So I went ahead and bought it. And I still had some extra. The next week is, wow, Lord, I'm bringing in $50 less per week, bring home pay. That's $200 in a month less. And I was already kind of like, you know, I was doing okay, but it was like, when I took this job, I took a $5 an hour cut in pay. That's a lot. So, you know, I had to really, you know, budget, you know. But God's math is just amazing. His economy, I've heard Pastor Chaz say, God's economy is just not ours. It's different. It's amazing. So I was even able, you know, even after I bought that equipment, the next week, I still have extra money. Thank you, Lord. Well, what am I going to do with this? I know. I'll give some other ministries I believe in. I gave $130 to 3 different places that I haven't given to in a while. It's like, thank you, Lord. And still today, it's like, wow, I'm not short. It's like, his economy is just amazing, you know? So anyway, that's my testimony that, you know, and I've proven him before too. I've had different testimonies like this too before. You know, lose a job, couldn't get a job for 3 or 4 months, but God just provides. You know, it's like Psalms, I think it's Psalms, I've been young and now I'm older. I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know, I just believe his word. You know, when we do believe his word enough, he will honor, he will see it that it comes to pass. Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord. Faith in God. He's a good father. He takes good care of us. Everybody's set for the next 3 months that God's got you. He's got us. Come on, he's got us. Hallelujah. Brother Jay?
Hi, everybody. Tonight I want to share testimony on some of the amazing experiences I've had with God over the years. I was born again in 1984, and over the years I've had some pretty amazing things happen, and I'm going to tell some of the highlights. First of all, when it comes to tithing, it took us a while to begin tithing. Brenda and I were living paycheck to paycheck, and it looked like it would be impossible to make it, you know, if we started tithing. But one day we stepped out in faith and actually tithed. And amazing. At the end of the week, we had more money left over before we got paid again than we ever had before. So that was a miracle in itself. So another financial miracle that happened to us was we were attending a church that was building a building, and they were accepting pledges from the people, and we decided to step out in faith again, and we pledged $1,000. Well, we didn't have the $1,000 at the time, but we knew that somehow God was going to make a way. I can't remember how long they gave us to pay for it, probably 3 months to pay off the pledge. But anyway, it was getting close to honoring our pledge, and about a week before the pledge was due, I think we had probably saved a couple $100, so we had quite a ways to go. And all of a sudden, I get a phone call from my mother, and she says, you know, do you remember when Grandma started this account for you back when you were like 5 years old? It was called the Czechoslovakian Catholic Union. And I don't know how much she put into it or how long she put into it, but Mom called me and said, they've got about $750 in this account. What do you want to do with it? Well, what do you think I want? What do you think you want me to do with it? Send it to me. So anyway, we came up with the other $50, and we were able to honor that pledge. So that was pretty cool. So only God. So the next couple things, it's more of a personal experience that I've had with him. One Saturday morning, I was feeling kind of heavy, you know, down, not necessarily depressed, but, you know, I just wasn't having a very good day, and I was by myself and sitting in the living room and just not feeling very well, and then all of a sudden, you know, I just get the Lord impressed on me to put on some worship music, some praise music. So I did, and I remember the song that I put on. It was a Rich Mullins song, Sing Your Praise to the Lord. And I put that in, and I'm sitting there on the couch, you know, and I'm not singing or anything. And then all of a sudden, you know, I started getting into the music, and I started singing. And once I started singing, you know, I just felt a difference. You know, and as the song went on and as the more I sang, the heaviness just left. And the room just got filled with the presence of the Lord. And I had never experienced it like that before. But I was so into the worship, and I could just tell, you know, my life was changing right then and there. But what he directed me to do after that was look out the window. And we had a tree out in the yard, and he told me to look up into the branches. And I look up into the branches, and I see this bird way up in the branches, and he's looking up into the sky just singing. And it was just the coolest thing. And then it dawned on me, the most amazing thing about that is, you know what kind of bird it was? It was a jaybird. And I said, only God, only God. So, and then one final story. This is pretty amazing. This happened not too long ago. I'm a general manager in my at my job, and I sometimes deal with the discipline of some of the employees there. And I'm not very well versed in HR, human relations, but I go out and I do my best anyway. And our office manager, she's taking courses in HR, and what I would do is I would go out and I try and take care of, you know, situations out in the shop, and I would come back and tell her what I did, and a lot of the times she just shakes her head. You shouldn't have said that. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. And we kind of had a little thing going, you know, that she burst my bubble. You know, because I think I do the right thing, and all of a sudden she shuts me down. But anyway, that was kind of a thing we had going, that she burst my bubble. Well, her birthday was coming up, and what I wanted to do is I wanted to get her a stick pin, you know, just to commemorate our little joke that we have together. So I got online, and I looked, I Googled stick pin. You know, I didn't want to spend a whole bunch of money on this. You know, it was just a little joke, really. And Google Stick Pin, and I go to these different websites, and I want it to be a decent one. I didn't want it to be just a piece of junk. But so I'm looking at these, and you know, stick pins can cost $300. So I just kept looking and looking, and nothing really appealed to me. And you know, I'm at this for about a half hour, and I'm thinking, Lord, this is taking way too long. You know, this was supposed to only take about 5 minutes. So I asked him to help me, and he directed me to go to eBay. So I go to eBay, and I Google, or I put in stick pin, and these stick pins come up, you know, and I start scrolling down, and I see one that looks pretty decent, you know, and I click on it, and I look at it, and that's nice. So I enlarge it, and it says, you know, it's engraved. And when I enlarged it, I said, oh, you got to be kidding. What was engraved on there was CS, and her name is Christine Schaback. Perfect stick pin. And it only cost $20. So, oh, only God. So, but anyway, you know, I just want to say that I'm so grateful and so happy that the Lord led us here to this church. You know, we have learned so much. We've learned to be a blessing to people. We've learned to love people. We've learned the importance of the salvation of souls. We know that that's the most important thing to God, is the salvation of souls. Not only that they would miss hell, but so they could experience the Christine's stick pin, and they can experience the J in the tree and all that. God wants to show himself. So, one thing that I've... one thing that's changed in me over the years is the fact that, you know, I love to be a blessing to people, and I like to be a surprise to people. Brenda can attest to that, that whenever it comes to blessings, I pretty much like to surprise you. Well, tonight, I want to surprise everybody here, or a few of you here. If you look under your seats, some of you are going to find something, and you're going to be blessed tonight. So... Some will be blessed. Somebody. Yeah. All right. That's it.
Y'all keep looking. No, I'm just kidding. That's fun. Praise God. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Make sure it's all gotten. These chairs might be given away or something at the end. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be thinking about what animal God could use for me. There's no chastigators or anything. But he does it a little bit different with everybody. So it's nice to have a life with God. So some even the simple things are fun, and he's with us. He loves us. He's with us. He has a life with us. He enjoys us. And it's fun to enjoy him. Praise God. Priscilla, I think you're up next. Come on up here. The young fiery saint.
I don't have money, so I'm not giving away money. I'm going to read my testimony on my phone. This is my testimony notes. I have everything in here. This is a testimony about a miracle healing, obeying the Holy Spirit, and being baptized in the Spirit. The start of January 1st, I started socializing, messaging with a person through social media, and this was the only way of communication. I've never met this person or spoke on the phone. I allowed this person to follow me on social media to witness God's love. I later found out they were into witchcraft, Freemason, and the Illuminati. So my thoughts were, I can help this person. This is a person I'm going to get saved. During this time, I started falling off the word of God. I started listening to secular music again. I started feeding my mind with trash TV. I started slowly drinking again, and I began to socialize with people who were more for the world other than the word. So I slowly started going through a spiritual battle. My mind was so distracted with these things, I started getting depressed. Thoughts of loneliness entered my mind, and this person on social media was becoming my best friend. Talking on a day-to-day basis, I would send Christian music and speak how great God was. I was basically talking the talk and not walking the walk. So this person was dealing with depression and negativity in their life. So I soon became a light to their darkness, I thought. Even though they sounded like they wanted to know more of Jesus, the stuff on their social media was still Freemason symbols, talk of witchcraft, and then started sending me the most graphic videos of about school shootings, depression, just very, very violent. And I was like, oh, I need to try harder, which I didn't. After a month of talking, I started feeling sick with fevers and chills, and it felt like the flu. And I noticed every time we would message, that's when I would start getting sick again. At the time, I thought I was overworking myself or working out at the gym. On February 11th was the start of a bad sickness. I took medicine and would feel okay the next day. As soon as I would get home from work, I'd become ill again. By the third day, on February 13th, was the day I was so fed up with feeling this way. I'm laying in bed, burning up, getting cold chills. My head is pounding. I turn the TV on to YouTube channel just to watch something on prayer and healing, and I click on a Derek Prince video. And he's speaking on loyalty. That's when it hit me. I haven't been loyal to God. I've been trying to do this on my own. The only thing destroying me were the distractions of the devil. So I messaged Pastor Joni and asked for prayer and healing, and this is what she sent. She goes, I have prayed for you just now in Jesus' name. Now you put your hand on a phone and receive God's healing and delivering power to rid your body of all things contrary to health and life and be made whole. Only be around such people for the amount of time you can be the influencer. Once you've given God's light or once they aren't open to your witness, depart quickly. I'll be praying for you. So at that moment, I felt a brush of air flow through me. I couldn't get out of bed. I laid and waited for the fever and chills to disappear. But nothing. The sickness was still there. I heard the Holy Spirit say, delete this person on social media. I tried to compromise with the Holy Spirit. Instead of deleting, I messaged saying, I need to distance myself from you. We can no longer speak. I still had fever and chills, and now my head was completely burning up. It felt like I was dying. Something in me didn't want to let go. The thoughts of their sadness, their depression hurt me. All I can hear is the Holy Spirit demanding me to delete. After 20 minutes, I did it. And as I deleted, I instantly felt the fever, the chills, headache float out of my body. I immediately jumped out of bed, ran to the living room and started rejoicing with tears, praising, speaking in tongues, and I had just realized I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit. My eyes were open. My mind was open. I felt at peace within me. But right then I realized the protection over God. God was fighting for me. He wasn't letting me go. I became so distracted with the world and saw myself slowly turning back to the old me. There's no explanation for this. Evil doesn't make sense. The devil will use anything like people, social media, music, anything of this world to kill, steal, and destroy you. So I urge you to stay in the word, protect your family, because we are in a serious battle. Not only with our physical flesh, but spiritual. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? You know, first of all, I was thankful that she reached out, you know. That's why it's important to have good Christian family, friends. I was thinking about Edmundo's testimony and his wife, Gloria, because I know her and I know what a prayer and a worshiper she is. And, you know, it's just not by accident sometimes that we all of a sudden encounter God. But I was thankful that Priscilla reached out that day. You know, as spiritual people, as faith people, we know we can do some things on our own and we attempt to do things on our own. But then sometimes we need some help. And, you know, when she sent me her text and just asked me to pray for her and that she was sick, she just casually mentioned to me that she had a friend. She just said at the end, I'm in a spiritual battle. And she mentioned that she had something about a friend, but she didn't say, Pastor Joni, what do you think about my friendship? Or she didn't say that. But when I got it and I read it, I remember the, you know, this is the pastor moment where I felt like I needed to say something. I didn't know why. As I was typing, I prayed for her healing and I connected with God. I felt like I heard the Lord say, type her back and tell her to do something. And so as I was typing, the Lord was just saying, tell her. And then I would type, put your hand on the phone and say this and do this. And then I found myself typing about her friend. I typed about her friend. She didn't ask me about her friend, but I typed about her friend. And then before I pressed send, I remember sitting there thinking, now, you know, this is one of those moments as the pastor where I'm going to either say something and she's going to receive it or she's going to think that's none of her business. And I'm glad she received it. Amen? Because really the life that we live and the things that we do, they do matter. And the closer we get to the Lord, you know, I'm thankful for Priscilla's wife. I know that David prayed for her for years. I remember when she wasn't yet fully in the kingdom. I remember the first couple times she came to the church, and it's just been amazing to see what God's been doing in her life. But the closer we get to, you know, to the Lord, there are things of us that God needs from us to live holy, to walk right, to not associate. And listen, you can't hang around with the dark and the dingy and the evil stuff too long and it not affect you in some connection. And I mean, to think that really just a friendship on Facebook, not even somebody she's sitting across a table from, but just a connection on Facebook caused her to get sick and she couldn't get rid of it until she obeyed the Lord. You don't hear that preached very much anymore, do you? Everything is so easy and there's always grace and God always forgives and it doesn't really matter, but it really does. Amen. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful that she listened to the Lord. I'm thankful that in that 20 minutes where she sat there, she recognized it was a battle, but she let the strength of God in her come up and she got the victory. Hallelujah. But it's a reminder to me. People you hang out with matter. You want to see your life? Look at those people around you. You want to see your future? Look at the people that you hang out with. Praise the Lord. Pastor, you want to come?
Yeah, that is pretty amazing that you can be affected by an online relationship. Because there's really no distance in the spirit realm. So you start giving your soul over the internet, it's just the same. So be careful out there. Be smart out there and stop disobeying the word of God out there. I mean, come on, he gave us the word of God to keep us safe. And so instead of, like you said, what were you, tempting the Holy Spirit? What did you say you were doing? Where are you? You said you weren't listening to the Holy Spirit. He was trying and you were trying to compromise. Compromise. Don't compromise thinking you have a reason to compromise the word of God. Be unequally yoked with somebody or something like that. I don't know why. The unequally yoked thing sure gets people. They think that they can be playing around with worldly people and being connected in a tight way because you like them. Well, that's why you're not supposed to like the world or the things of the world or the people of the world. So anyway, praise God, you got set free, learned some things. Beautiful. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's what we're all doing here. We're trying to spread it. We're trying to spread it to the next because it's the only way to live. People don't even know why they're sad, why they're hurt, why they're messed up, why they're sick. They don't even know. And that's why we're getting this message out. That's why we got to get the power of God to them. So thanks for being part of it, not giving up, not fainting, not growing weary. We're in it till the end. We're enduring till the end around here. Glory to God. Some think the end is here. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and troubles and famines, let not your heart be troubled. Okay, so whatever it takes, let's make sure that we sharpen each other and that there's no fear in us. We're safe, we're okay, but we're not selfish about it either. Meaning we're not just walking around saying, I'm covered in the blood and that. No, we're serious about this, okay? So we got to take care of ourselves. We got to take care of people around us. We got to be respectful, honorable, wise in everything. So praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody happy though?
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.